who has participated in track and field in school in your life? Do you remember ever participating in track and field or being in an event? How many did the track part? Who did the track running? How many did the field events? Well, there's this one event. Did anybody do high jump? Several people did high jump. Cool. Well, there's the high jumps, of course, when you jump over a bar, whether forward, backward, whatever way you want to do it. And the record is held by a guy from Cuba. His name is Javier Sotomayor. And his high jump has been since like 1993. Nobody has touched this yet. And it was 8 foot and a quarter inch, which, can you imagine? I mean, that's jumping backwards, you know, jumping just from the ground, you know, jumping. And so it's a pretty big event, and nobody's got to that record for a long time. When, you know, through the summer here, we've been asking us to read through 1 Corinthians 13. So I'm not going to ask show of hands who's done that yet, but I encourage you to do it. It's just really, really good to read through that. But when you read through it, you might feel like it's like that high jump. It's like, there's absolutely no way I'm going to get to that. I cannot jump that high. I cannot fulfill this type of, the description of love in here. And you know what? It's true. I cannot do that. Because without the help of God and the help of Holy Spirit, I cannot love like God. I can only love like me. And that comes with all the wrong ways and maybe some right ways of what I've learned and experienced. But I need God to help me to know how to love properly. I need Him. And I need Him in me. It's not just, okay, here's 1 Corinthians 13, go do that. I need Him inside of me. I need the Holy Spirit to help me to love in that way. There are situations in life. Oh, that's that guy who did that. That's him. That's the way he did it. There are situations in life that we get opportunity to decide what we're going to do. And in that opportunity, then it's decided who, when these situations come up, that's going to cause us to make a decision. And that decision, we get to choose who gets to go through the door first. And depending on who gets through that door first, it depends on what kind of results is going to happen. So if my own flesh and my experience, my self, my emotions goes through that door first in a reaction to a situation and it's negative, then that's not going to be too good. But if I allow the Holy Spirit to lead me into that, to lead me through that door first to react to a situation, the results are going to be greatly different. But this can only happen through practice. It can only happen if I allow that and begin to learn how to do that. There's a verse in 1 Timothy, Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said, train yourself to be godly. He says, and that word actually comes from the word exercise or gymnastics. And so to train, we are to train ourselves. It just doesn't happen by just standing there. Say, God, make me godly. I have to do something. I have to act. I have to go through. So when somebody does something to me, I can react the way I always did, or I can train myself to act the way God wants me to act. There's a thing called muscle memory. You ever heard of muscle memory? Now, muscle memory doesn't mean your muscles have memory. It's up here. But you learn, it's because you've done something, you could do it again. Does anybody remember how riding the bike for the first time, learning how to ride the bike? Grace has a trauma story. So, it was just going down we just ride a bike and I let her go down the drive. And so I thought she could make it okay. So it was a little bit more slanting than what we were used to. So she got going a little bit faster. And she did wipe out at the bottom. But you learned how to ride a bike, didn't you? You learned not to do that ever again. I learned not to do that again. Now, I will have to confess, I did lie one time when I was teaching Ruthie to ride a bike. because I was right teaching her. And she goes, Dad, do you have a hold of the bike? I go, yes, but I didn't. It was the, all right, there's my confession. So anyways, but since you learned to ride a bike, you can probably ride a bike now because you learned how to do that. You learned what motions and what to go through. It's the same thing with following God. It's the same thing we talk about exercising ourselves to godliness. It's the fact we've learned this is the right way to do it. And because I know that's the way to do it, now I can choose. Now I know I still have that freedom of choice to decide if I'm going to go through, allow the Holy Spirit to lead. And those who've been Christians for a while, you realize this is a constant process. It's not like you learn this one time. We get lots of opportunity to get to practice and train ourselves to be godly. Lots of opportunity to do that. So it's a life process, but it's well worth it. Our verse that we're focusing on today in 1 Corinthians is 1 Corinthians 13:5, and says, love is not easily angered and keeps no record of wrong. Who has ever made something that you've actually, you put a teapot on or produced steam? You ever done that? So what actually happens there? If you just put it on, does it just steam come out? Or what do you have to apply to the teapot to make the steam come out? Heat. That's right. And what causes the thing for us to consider is what causes heat in our life? Or even a better question, who causes heat in our life? We were at a wedding Friday and over in Indianapolis, and the best man, his brother, was talking, and he said, I went, okay, everybody, I want you to look at your spouse or your date or whoever you have with you that you're really close to. So everybody looked at him, and he goes, now, based on the statistics of the millennial generation, he goes, based on what I read, this person is the person most likely to kill you. And I said, but it's true. It's true. So there's things in our life that can cause steam. They can cause things that happen, buttons to push. Now, is anger okay? Is anger ever okay? Yes. There is what's called a righteous anger. If you read in the scriptures, God got angry, Jesus got angry. There's an anger, but it's learning to be angry at what God's angry about. To me, that's a tough bar. That's up there. It's like, okay, because Lord, am I supposed to be angry at this? Because there's a lot of things that can get angry at us. And Ephesians 4:26 says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. You know, the Holy Spirit will help us recognize what is heating us up in life. And what happens if you don't deal with it? You vaporize. I mean, you know, this is what happens. The emotions come out. And one way to check, you know, this way you got thermometers, you could check temperature, but there are ways we can check because we may not realize how hot we are in our core, how heated up we already are. We may be living a life that's really heated up already and just boom. I mean, personally, I believe our society is like that. Because of the pressure, why you see so much more road rage and why you see so much more violent crime, different things like that going on is because there is a general overall pressure on society which causes that steam, the things that happen. So how do we recognize that? One is the scriptures. I mean, we can look at just what we've been looking at, 1 Corinthians 13. I can look at that and look at the what they say love and say, Lord, am I doing that? Am I applying that to my life? Another is Galatians 5, it talks of fruit of the Spirit. Lord, is this going on? A really good one, because you could even fool yourself that. Is that somebody close to you? Now you got to promise though not to be angry with them when you say, am I an angry person? And they say, yes, you are. You're living, there's just something going on, you know, and people can be very good, healthy mirrors in our life if we allow them. You know, don't assign yourself to be a mirror to somebody because that's going to create a lot of heat. But people can be good mirrors in our life if we allow them to say, what do you think? Do you see me as that? Because we can deceive ourselves. and thinking, you know, and your culture, you could just live in a culture of anger and think you're okay until you step outside of it and you realize, whoa, that's not okay. And that's true in a lot of different areas of life. So looking and seeing and asking the Heavenly Father, just what's going on? I don't know, who has an electric stove in your house? You have an electric stove or use electric heater? Besides getting a little bunch of stuff, you know, the way that heats up, there's the electrons and atoms, and they're bumping around on each other and hitting each other, causes heat. And so in life, there's a lot of things we bump into. There's things that bump into us and could cause heat in our life. How do we deal with that? What do we do to cool down? What helps us to deal with the heat in our life? And this is not a cliche. This is not something, oh yeah, I know that. Because it really, really works. And it's been, they've done studies, I've read studies of this. It's not just because it's in the Bible. I mean, it's worked. And one of the number one ways to cool down is prayer. And in prayer, it says, Matthew 5:43 says, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." The word persecute basically means to put pressure, cause trouble, that there's something going on that's basically agitating and bringing that, coming against you. And that doesn't necessarily mean just unbelievers. That could be other Christians that could be causing that in our life. And so Jesus says when we get to those points, we pray for them. Now, we don't pray for God to destroy them. God, kill them and stuff. There's some prayers that's in here. We pray for God's blessing. And if you read through the, you know, sometimes we label God as the Old Testament being God and the New Testament love God. If you read through the Old Testament, there's lots of glimpses that God was the same God in the Old Testament as in the New Testament. And there's throughout the scriptures, he talks about blessing your enemy. In the Old Testament, blessing your enemy and how he desires to bless ones and help ones. You know, anxiety, worries, that kind of stuff can cause stress. And when we're doing this, what this all creates, it makes us more of an angry person. It causes us to be on that edge and the heat's up. So littler things that normally wouldn't cause that, it sets us off. We vaporize. And in Philippians 4:6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." It's harder to get angry when you're full of peace. It's easier to get angry when you're full of anxiety. And so to have that, to have a life of prayer and to train ourselves that in a situation, one of the first things I do is I pray. I talk to God. I give it. You know what it says here? It's good to see that it's not just praying. He says, with thanksgiving. So we're bringing God into the situation. Say, God, what do you want to do here? There's situations going on. What do you want to do? So what I'm doing is I'm letting him through that door first. I'm not rushing through and just reacting. Because the way we were raised, the way we've normal react, our own emotions, our personality, that's going to dictate, if we don't, how we're going to react to situations. But if we allow the Holy Spirit to teach us and train us how to react godly in a situation, then the results, like I said earlier, is going to be much better. Another thing to help us cool down is by having, let's see, where am I going with this? Oh, is by having margins in our life. Sometimes we live so much on the edge. We live so much that we're so stressed out that any little thing sets us off. And these are things, ask the Lord. Lord, why am I so angry? Why is my life, why am I right on the verge of boiling point? What's going on in my life that's causing me to live? You know, you can persecute yourself. You can basically trouble yourself And what you're saying to yourself and put pressure, whether it's God, whether it's religious pressure, or whether it's pressure of life from society, pressure because of your family, of relationships, could be job situations, whatever. We could put it on ourselves. We could put that pressure on ourselves. So it's learning to have margins and asking God. And the only way that's going to happen, it has to be we have to trust God. We have to trust God. We don't have to live on the very edge every single moment. We have to trust God that He's going to take care of us. That doesn't mean we just sit around and wait for Him to do something. But we also, in the midst of that, we're listening. We're walking. We're going back to Scripture. Say, Lord, is there any peace? You know, Colossians 3:15, it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. You want a good thermometer that we talked about? There's a great thermometer. Lord, where is the peace of Christ in my heart? Why don't I have peace? Why am I walking? Why does my life feel agitated? You know, what's going on in my life? And you know, He will show you. He promises He will. He promises. He says, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. God is faithful to show you. And another part of this verse we were talking about, 1 Corinthians, the second part of verse 5 says, keep no record of wrong. There's that high bar. It's up here. It says, I'm not keeping a record of wrong. I'm not going to count. I'm not going to recount. This means calculate that we're counting over. We're keeping like a book almost of people's lives. And you might not do it consciously, but it's in there. Oh, yeah. 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 You know, and it raises when we do that. When we allow records of wrong, it raises our core emotional temperature. It does. When we're keeping record of everybody's wrong, and again, because we probably were trained this way in our old nature, we were trained in our culture, how we were brought up to keep records of wrong. We have to break that. We have to choose, decide, I'm not going to live like that anymore. You know, yeah, my family might be that. My friends might be that. Maybe, you know, people, all my Facebook friends are like that, whatever. I'm not going to live like that anymore. I'm not going to keep record of wrong. And therefore, using my energy to hold on to all this, if I'm doing that, then I'm not allowing the love of God to saturate. That's why in here, remember, this is all based on the thing of love. If I'm doing this, that means love's not there. I don't know how many in here, I can't remember how many took it. There was a class we had about Megan Kibler taught it on marriage counseling, the marriage counseling class. Anybody remember taking that? You guys took it and someone. If you remember, there was a thing called the disaffection bar. You remember that? Disaffection bar. Basically, the disaffection bar is that you did something wrong to me. So now, I'm not going to just treat you the way you used to be. Now, it's here. This bar. So now when I come and I'm interacting with you, I'm interacting, and not only do you have to make it to this level and me accepting you, loving you, you got to make it to this level. And if you miss out now, and it just keeps going up and up until you're just like, I don't have anything to do with you. I'm out of here. And so we're keeping those records and can cause that. Now, you know, anything in the Bible, you could take to an extreme. You could take verses out and you could take an extreme. God is so balanced. Just look at all of nature. Look at all the world. I was reading or watched a video by some of the top cosmologists. That doesn't mean makeup people. It's people who study the stars and stuff. And they said the reality is that all, even millions of miles away, things out there happening affect things here. It's like all these gears are all working together. And it's like God has created it. He's a very balanced God. So even in the Bible, the moment you take a scripture out and make it extreme, you're out of balance. You have to look at it through who He is and through the rest of scripture. So this scripture doesn't mean, does that mean that I don't recognize when a wrong has happened? No. A wrong is a wrong. And there's nothing wrong with calling it. That's what it is. That was wrong. Doesn't say that people aren't held accountable for what they do wrong. That's not what it's saying. It doesn't mean I don't you know, that God, in fact, Hebrews 12:6 says that God disciplines those he loves and chastens everyone he accepts as son. So there is that. What it's saying is that by God's help, I'm not going to allow someone else's actions to control my life. I'm not going to allow that. There's that bar. It's like, Lord, that's tough. You know, that bar is way up there. But by the help of the Holy Spirit, God, you can keep me free. You can help me not to have that happen. Max Lucado wrote a book a long time ago. I don't know if you remember, Grace, this. I can't remember the name of it, but about the person who had all the sticky things on him. Wemmix, is that what it's called? And oh, that's the people in it. And so he wrote a book that had Wemmix. And it's stuff that people put labels and stickers and stuff all over you and stuff. And the thing is how do we live a life that we're not sticky? How do we live a life that I'm not so sticky that you affect me so much, or that something that I've gone through just weighs me down and I don't ever get? What do we do to keep having that shimmery life that it doesn't stick? The only thing that's going to stick to us is what God's doing, that things don't stick. Well, a big thing of that is, and it goes back to what we said earlier, is do you have times of refreshing? Do you have times where you actually allow God to refresh you? Because when that happens, it's like a cleansing. I think like, I don't know if you mentioned or somebody mentioned over here, worship. You know, there's worship. Is like a cleansing. If we don't have those times, and that's between you and God. You know, I could tell you what I do, but that doesn't mean it works for you. You know, what is God? What is it? What do you have to do to bring that refreshing that you, is like the song we sang, that there's a breathing of life into you, a fresh life. You know, and if you don't have that, you're going to be really sticky. You know, things are going to stick to you a lot more in life, the negative things, the things people do, and you just weigh it down. And we have a whole society of sticky people. You know, there's a lot sticking on out there, and there's, I mean, if you just look, there's not a lot of forgiveness. Have you seen a lot of forgiveness? And it's only because the Holy Spirit helps. So whatever that is for you, whether it's prayer, worship, being in the scriptures, being around other people, being by yourself, you know, being out in nature, whatever it is, there has to be a time that you are being refreshed, and there's that sense of cleansing that's happening. And by that, it helps us to become a forgiving person. The scripture helps us not to be sticky. There's a verse in Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." Now, I don't know where you are, but when you lose that last part of that verse, forgive just as in Christ God forgave me. The word forgive here actually means to extend grace. It means that God, it's a godly grace that he has extended. So it's saying extend grace to one another just as God extended grace to you. It's not based on whether the person deserves it. You know, God's grace didn't come to me because I deserve it. That's not what grace is. Grace is free. It's just given to us. Jesus said, there was a parable about a woman, there was a situation happened, and this woman came in, and she lived, she had a pretty bad background stuff. And Jesus and the people were all upset with him because he was letting her touch him and stuff, and she was cleansing his feet with her tears and stuff. It says, therefore, he says, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven as her great love has shown. But whoever is forgiven little loves little. There's something this tying this in. Understanding God's forgiveness of us. Some of us may think, well, you know, I was raised in church. You know, I didn't really do that much. But if you understand forgiveness, it doesn't matter where you were raised or how much the Bible knew, we were forgiven a lot. You know, whether you were John the Baptist, you know, I mean, John the Baptist, the Bible says, was filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb. But even he had an understanding of the great forgiveness. You don't have to sin to understand how much forgiveness we have. Apostle Paul Apostle Paul said that as far as legalistic righteousness, he was perfect. I don't know very many. That means every single law in the Old Testament, he did it. He kept it. I mean, that was a pretty high bar, and he kept it. But yet, he understood. One of the things he told Timothy, he says, I, Paul, chief among sinners. He knew the grace of God. You know, the grace of God, I don't even begin to imagine what God saved me from. I mean, it's not necessarily what I did that he did, but what he saved me from. What my life could have been. It's easy to judge other people when you're not, but I think you get in that situation. What would you have been like? You know, you were raised with an abusive person, or you went through that situation, or you live in a totally Muslim culture, or you live, what would you have been like? What would I have done? And I thank God, and it hopefully helps propel me to pray for people in that situation. That God, I could be living in Russia or China, or I could be living in these oppressive countries and not have the freedom that we have here to worship Him. And so there's something about walking in that forgiveness and walking in that grace. And you know, it's true. There's people in our life we may not be able to forgive. God, it's an act of the Holy Spirit. It's an exercise of godliness to forgive. And therefore, I need God. You know, I can say, yeah, I forgive him. But to forgive like God forgives, I need him. The word forgive actually means to send away. Like, get out of here. I don't want you. You're not taking residence here. So a lot of opportunities we get for unforgiveness take residence inside of us. And if that gets going on and we're crowded out, we're going to be angry. We're going to be sticky people. But if we say, no, you're not going to have residence here, then it helps us to walk in the love as in 1 Corinthians. Musicians could come up, please. If we go ahead and stand. This morning, as we finish up with the message part, just felt there was a couple activations for us to do. And then after that, our personal ministry team is going to be up here to pray with you about anything you would like prayer for. But one of them is, are there things in your life that we just need to release to God? Whether it's anger, burdens, situations that's causing that pressure. And I'm saying, Holy Spirit, I just want to submit my heart to you. That you start going first. I just want to submit and that you are leading. You're in control of my decisions, my emotions. And I just want your life. Jesus said he came that we may have life and have it to the fullest. Well, that comes when we follow him, when we submit to him. Submitting to God is not a slavery. It's a place of freedom. It's a place of joy and peace. So if there's things like that, we're going to pray about that first. And if there's things you want to just release to him, situations that's causing you to heat up, that we just need to trust and release to him. Let's just lift that up to the Lord. You can lift your hands up to him. And Heavenly Father, you know what's going on in every person's life. Lord, we welcome you to be the one that goes through the door first, God. To lead and guide us, God. And we just, Lord, even when right now one needs strength to release, God. That in our heart they want to release, God, but we just teach us how to release. Help us to exercise ourselves to godliness. Be our personal trainer, God, that teaches how to release things to you, Lord, and do it more easily, God. It's not so hard to release situations and go through as far as the opportunities to whether you there, we express you or ourselves, Lord. Just welcome you, God, to help us. Let you be Lord in our emotions, in our life, in our situations. We thank you, Father. The second one is, are there people we need to release? Or even, you know, sometimes you can have unforgiveness towards situations where, in a sense, we don't constantly want to do it, but We blame God. God, why did you let this happen? God, why is this going on? You know, why? You know, sometimes we have to forgive. We have to forgive God. Not that he did anything wrong, but we have to let it go and have that freedom and not count him, our wrong toward him, because he loves us. So Heavenly Father, I just ask again, if there's situations, people, you don't have to lift your hands, you know, in your heart. If you need to let go, we welcome your Holy Spirit to help us forgive. Help us not be sticky people. Lord, help us to be free of counting wrongs and to be free of unforgiveness. We just command unforgiveness to go away. We just release and say, you're not resident here. We welcome, God, that you would help us to be a forgiving people. We thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name.